stuff that we always learn every day. If you keep your ears open and your eyes open, there's something new for you to understand. Let me teach you just a couple of the things that I've learned over life that have helped me a great deal. And here's one. Here's one. Let me talk to you about beauty. No, let me talk to you about hearing. Let me talk to you about truth. Let me talk about what you hear and how you hear it. Now, why is it that every older person or person gets to be over 60 years old gets to, they say, you know, that's a noisy band. They listen to heavy metal. They can't stand heavy metal, you know. Or the heavy metalists, when they grow up, they can't stand the new music. Sonny Rollins, playing at Carnegie Hall, decides to do some new innovative stuff. A lot of his fans are 70 years old and older. They didn't like it so much. The reviews were saying about, you know, they said, well, what about the old Sonny Rollins sound? Because as you get older, something happens to you. Now, what happens? What do you think it is? That when you get older, you just get to be ready to go out on the ice and you just start losing your senses and you can't see anymore and you can't hear anymore and your brain cells are deteriorating and you may as well just turn in your, we were talking about it yesterday, but we're talking about memory. Today I want to talk about hearing. Yes. Exciting stuff about hearing. Why do you think you like my voice? Why do you think you like this program? What are you hearing from me? Well, maybe you hear kindness. Maybe you hear intelligence. Maybe you hear Lower East Side Kid done good. Maybe you hear, insight. Maybe you hear a nice daddy. Maybe you hear any bunch of things. But, you know, one of the things you hear is a certain consistency in my voice, in my presentation. Now, why is that important? Well, hearing is a very important tool. When we were given hearing by them who gave us hearing, you know, who said, we'll let a human stand up on their back feet. The animals have sharper hearing than we do, right? They have sharper vision, sharper smell. But we needed a certain amount of hearing and a certain kind of hearing, so they put our ears on the side of our heads, which is a lot better than having your ear in the middle of your forehead, because when you kiss somebody, you'd be kissing ear to ear or something. It was a very sensible placing, because we could hear two sides, and we could hear depth. We get depth from having the ears on two sides. We could judge how far away something is because we have depth perception. If you're deaf in one ear, you sometimes don't have depth perception, which is the same as if you're blind in one eye. If you can't see in one eye, it's hard to have depth perception. That's why we have two of everything. Two nostrils, right? Two lips. Well, I don't know if that works. Two eyes, two ears, that's for sure. Two hands. Twos of everything, the twos of most things, right? That's what they gave us, two of each. But now, let me tell you about this fascinating ear stuff. And this is Armand DeMille with you with the positive mind, because yesterday we were talking about memory, and that was very important. And we're trying to teach you how memory works. And today I want to talk to you about hearing, because you're going to be involved. Definitely be involved in hearing dynamics. How has hearing affected your life? What about the things you could hear and couldn't hear? You know, there are people who have selective perception, audio selective perception. There are things they can't hear. Now, why would you have audio selective perception? Let's say you're a kid and you hear your parents screaming and threatening to kill each other, and you decide that you don't want to hear that anymore. You could block it out of your mind. You could do something with the mechanics of your mind so that you never hear that screaming again. So you could actually deafen yourself selectively. Amazing, huh? Sometimes there is so much noise out there that it's deafening. You learn to deafen your ears. You learn to not hear things. If you knew how many things you heard just today alone, you'd be shocked. Millions of bits of information have come in through your ears. Now, some crazy people, you know, people who are really paranoid and they get really overly concerned, when they get too concerned about health, they want to close their ears because they talk about the world of noise pollution. And they talk about how noise pollution can damage you. Well, we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about the truth of that and the not-so-truth of it as well. The part that fascinated me, that brought me to this, was bifurcation. Yes, bifurcation. Are you bifurcated? Well, bifurcation means splitting in two. Basically, that's what it means. Now, here's a thing that happens in the ear, and let me explain it to you. Let me get a friend of mine to help me explain it. As we age, our hearing ability bifurcates. We can maintain normal hearing levels, as in catching all of one person speaking at a time. Conversation, you know, in a living room when one person talks to you, and no other noise or simultaneous conversation. But as you age, because your ear goes from being this one part that could hear many things at once, you split, and it actually takes the attention of both parts to listen to two different things. So, in other words, when your ear bifurcates as you get older, and this is 50 and older, right? As you get older, you can't attend to three things at the same time like you used to be able to do, because there used to be a single stem that used to take all the information in. Now it's split. So one arm is taking one thing and the other arm is taking the other thing, and here you are. So if you're trying to have a conversation and there's too much music in the background, right, it's hard to do. I mean, let me give you an example of it right now. Here you are, hearing. Here's my radio program, and I'm talking to you, my friends, and I'm talking to you about hearing. And I'd like you to hear what I have to say to you today about hearing. Now, I have this music playing in the background. Are you hearing the music in the background? Or are you hearing my voice? Can you tell if I am telling you numbers to remember? If I said to you, would you please remember the numbers 1, 3, 10, 6, 5? Can you remember those numbers? Or would it be easier if I said to you, can you remember the numbers 1, 3, 10, 6, 5? You see, the older you are, or as you get older, you need simplicity of sound. Simplicity of sound. So that's why you like Glenn Miller. You know, that's why you want to go back to your early music. The music becomes one sound instead of it being too many different sounds. So there's Sonny Rollins up on stage, and he's got two musicians with him. He's got a tenor sax, he's got a piano, and he's got a bass, and the bass is terrific, and the piano is terrific, and his tenor is terrific. But because they're young and they're new, they weren't playing together the way Sonny Rollins used to play in his band. When Sonny Rollins used to play jazz, that band was one sound. It was one sound. Even with a soloist, it was one sound. Bifurcation, my friends. So it's not your fault. It's bifurcative phenomenon. So as this happens, you know, so if you introduce a competing noise, so a person's talking to you, you know, and suddenly you're talking and another noise comes in the background, you say, excuse me, just a minute. You see, and you try to attend to the other thing, but you can't be that disturbed. And you don't want to be that disturbed because your ear can't handle it. It just can't hear everything. You can't hear all the information at once. That's why you prefer to hear a single voice, as long as it doesn't put you to sleep. Now, another reason that you find people who are older, you know, as you get into your 80s, you find that people don't sit in groups, in gatherings, because it's harder to pay attention to more things than one at a time, the older you get. So group gatherings are not such a good idea, because it becomes difficult. See, it becomes difficult. In fact, I went to a home recently that was a that was an older person's home, and in this home I noticed how quiet they were with each other, almost respecting this phenomena. Why is this important to us? It's important because it proves to us that there are cells in the brain and in the physical ear that degenerate over time. You lose cells. That's why the bifurcation takes place, because the cells that you lose are the glue cells, the cells that actually glue it together, and it kind of comes apart. It splits apart, just like skin splits apart when you get older. You know, it kind of dries out, and it splits apart. Well, you know, in your ear, too. In your ear, buddy. Okay. What kind of sounds offend and don't offend? Well, there seems to be a certain level called 89 decibels, the old 89 decibel level. Below 89, everybody can handle easily. Above 89, we get questions. Below 89, a dripping faucet. That's 40 decibels. You know how offensive that is? It's not offensive, a dripping faucet, but if you're 80 years old and somebody's talking to you and the faucet's dripping, it's hard, because even though it's only 40 decibels, it is distracting you. Now, this is not all people, because we're going to teach you ways of reversing this as well. Rainfall, 40 decibels. Ready for this? A power mower. Remember, 89 is the usual limit. Power mower, 105 decibels. You got to wear headphones. You got to suppress the sound, because you're actually physically hurting yourself at that point. A jet engine at takeoff, you know those guys who wave to the jet engine, notice they have headphones on all the time? Absolutely. In a helicopter, you couldn't imagine. Air raid sirens, 130 decibels. You know, sometimes I live where I live, there's a hospital nearby. It'll be 6 o'clock in the morning and there'll be no traffic out there at all, but the ambulance decides it's got to put on its siren and go through the streets. Well, with no competing noise, that noise cuts through everybody's sleep. It's as if to say, emergency, emergency, everybody wake up. You know, as if it's necessary. Jackhammer, 100. The little people mixy. Oh, yeah, the motorcycle sound. Do you ever had a motorcycle sound affect you when you're driving? You're driving, you have a window open, because a motorcycle sound, I don't know why they can't bring it down. There must be a reason, and I know some of you motorcyclists are going to call and tell me. It's 100 decibels. 89 is your limit. If it was at 88, it would be acceptable. It would come by you like it was just a motor. We're talking about 12 decibels. But the trouble is, you don't want a muffler on your motorcycle. Why don't you want a muffler on your motorcycle? I guess because you want people to know you're there. Because there are certain motorcycles that are quiet, you know, and they cost a lot of money. But nobody wants those because, you know, is it that they don't have power? Or is it that I'm not scaring you? I don't know. I'd like to hear from some motorcyclists, because maybe the whole thing is I don't want to be muffled. I can't imagine the number of accidents that are caused by that. I heard the other day in Central Park, a horse, not by a motorcycle, was gotten by somebody with a loud drum. Somebody decided to hit a loud drum near a horse, one of these horse carriages, which I have great objections to. One of these horse carriages, the horse heard this loud drum. The horse bolted, wound up dying. It actually bolted. It put its leg through a spoke. It wound up dying right there. And then another horse bolted and wound up running into a car somewhere in the streets. Horses don't like loud sounds. Don't make loud sounds around horses. You know what I mean? Don't do it. They don't like it. They've got to react to it. They've got to get away from it. They're not like us. We interpret the sounds. Cats, sharp hearing, huh? You ever watch your cat as they're listening to something happening somewhere? So, the idea of today's program, my friends, is the way you listen and the way you hear. And so, first of all, I want you to have some sympathy for the people who cannot, who ask you, please limit it, please turn it down. Please turn it down. It's important that you turn down the music. Please do it. I mean, just do it. Turn down the TV. Loud TV. There are some people who make the television so loud. And now, why would they do that? Why do you think people want TV to be loud? Because they want the sound to mask out all of the rest of reality. They want to be in the TV show. So they make the movie so loud and so noisy, and whatever it is so loud because they want to be in it and they want to mask out your sound. Now, kids are famous for doing this, right? Loud noise, loud TV, loud everything. Famous for doing it, unless they're disciplined by their parents. But they're famous for doing it because they don't want to hear what the parents have to say. Who wants to hear what your parents have to say? You think your parents have anything good to say? You think your parents are coming by and saying, oh, you know, you shouldn't do any homework today. Oh, you know, you should leave your clothing on the floor. You know, that's not what your parents are going to say. So you block out people with your ears. Sometimes, you know, if you're depressed, you block out love. Let's say if you're depressed or you're upset or you have something going wrong with you that day or you have some kind of physiological changes happening inside you and you're just depressed and invested in being depression. If somebody came along and they said something kind, you could reinterpret it as negative. You could reinterpret, you could see everything as negative if you're depressed. Now, how does that happen? I mean, you're hearing the same thing. If somebody were to say to you, hear the very words that person said to you. That person said you look very nice. And you got angry at them because they never respect you for your mind that day. But the other day they said you look very nice. You liked it very much. So hearing is selective also, because hearing becomes the vehicle that we use in our communication with other people. We need to be able to hear properly. Some of us don't, of course. There are some people who don't have hearing, and they use sign language, or they use reading lips, they use other ways of doing it. But for most, the majority of people, how you hear, the way you hear, how much your hearing is blocked, it's very important. The health of your ear is very important. And pay attention to it, you know? You just pay attention to it. Some of the application is in your favorite theaters. You'll notice if you go to a theater nowadays, just as it happens on TV, they raise the decibel of the commercials. Now there are commercials in movie houses, right? You go to a movie and you're about to watch a movie and they're hitting you with commercials. Coca-Cola's got a commercial and somebody else has got a commercial. The sound level is 10 decibels higher than the theater sound, which is already up at 89. It's at the max, but the commercials are at 110. They are meant to upset your ear and go past your defenses. So you could go into a theater, and I've had it, where you could really feel bombarded by sound. The loud sound, the noise, because the commercials are meant to do that to you. The commercials on TV are meant to do that to you also. That when you fall asleep watching TV, these sounds are supposed to be accentuated and supposed to get to you as opposed to hypnotic kind of suggestion while you're sleeping. It's always wise to have a shut off on your TV. You know, shut it off. Don't go to sleep to TVs. They'll get you. I don't mean to make you paranoid, but they'll get you. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. We're going to be taking your calls about this, too. About sound, I mean, the very fact that we can make our highways, you know, so solid, by making our highways so solid, they don't absorb sound. So the sound that we get from our highways is really not because we can make them more porous. They're not going to dissolve faster. In your movie theater should be able to give you earplugs. They should be able to give you earplugs. They should be able to give you something to protect your ears, or you should bring those. I sometimes actually will take a tissue and stick it in my ears. You know, I'll break it and I'll stick it in my ears until the commercials are over. You could try everything you can to keep it somewhere within control. There's a thing called www.noisefree.org, which is a noise-free America initiative. It's important. It's important. Now, what we've learned about this is we've learned some amazing things about it. that two-thirds of the subway noises exceed the 90 decibel level, two-thirds. Staying in a subway for any period of time, any length of time, which is 20 minutes or more, waiting for the subway to go, is actually violating and breaking through your ear. Clap of thunder or gunshot can damage hearing right away. If a thunder sound is too loud or a gunshot, you can hurt your ear, you know? What we want to do is we want you to be able to hear and keep your hearing as long as possible. And in order to do that, you should go to a website called How Stuff Works. HowStuffWorks.com. It's a really good website. How Stuff Works, and go to How Hearing Works. And learn about it, because you begin to see things about, learn about the different mechanisms of your ears. You should know how your ear works. You should know your ear canal and what is this eustachian tube, you know? What is the cochlea? The cochlea is a primary organ, and it's something to pay attention to know. Now, the important thing about this is that no matter what happens with our aging brain, no matter what happens, the brain's ability to encode what we hear slowly deteriorates over time because of this bifurcation, right? Now, encode, what does that mean? It means take it in and make sense out of it, out of the different things you hear. It slows down the pace at which it operates over time. Imagine you're out at dusk, trying hard to figure what you see in the distance, right? This is what happens. You're looking at a distance, trying to figure it out. You have to look for a longer time than you would in the bright of day to make it out. In the same way, the brain adjusts the time that it records incoming speech for longer and longer periods. It takes longer and longer for the brain machinery to decide what it's hearing. So if you play three notes, if you had that game, you know, what was that? Name That Tune. Remember that? Bing, bing, bing. You know, the older you are, you're not going to get the answer as quick as the younger person who's going to hear that a lot faster. As a result, it takes longer and longer for the brain machinery to decide what it's hearing and on that basis to respond to it. That's why you sometimes see people who look like they're having mind gaps. You say to them, would you like a glass of water? And there's a pause because they want to take it in. They want to get the information in. They have to encode it. It's still trying to, it can't keep up with rapid or mumbled conversations. He talks too fast. You know, people who talk very fast, New Yorkies, can't really hear it. The brain is still trying to encode the first syllable when a person is halfway through a sentence. If you talk too fast, the brain is trying to get that first syllable, that very first word, and you're already in the middle of the sentence. Fortunately, we have life experience to provide context for what we don't quite hear. Unfortunately, we sometimes get the context wrong and we fail to understand what's been said. Wouldn't it be great if we could tune in more clearly? Well, now this is what we finally learned to do, my friends. This is where science comes in. It turns out that there are ways of training the brain to encode information faster and better. And there are training, they're beginning to design braining programs. That one program that we offered during the fun drive, which was from Posit Science. I am doing that program. Other people I know are doing that program. It trains your brain by building physical neurons. You could do it. Don't give up. You can train your brain so that you hear better. You can grow new materials in your mind. You can't let your mind get lazy. And I mean, you can, but you know, you may as well just get ready to walk out on the ice when you let your brain get lazy. Keep your brain active. Learn new information as much as you can. I'm not as against television as I sound, but I do love, I mean, things like the Geography Channel, the History Channel, the new stuff, the stuff I've never seen before. You know, I love the idea of traveling to a new location so that you could see things, learning a new language. Sharpen that brain. Get it sharp, you know. Don't get like a dull pencil. Get it in there and give yourself some new experience. I saw a woman the other day. She was in her 60s. I said, get back to school. Because she always wanted to have her license. And I said, go get your license. Go get that. Go back to school. She said, at this age? I said, absolutely. I remember when I went to school, we had a couple of people in the classroom who were like 65, 70 years old. They got the greatest attention from everybody else because everybody loved them being in the classes with them. You know, and everybody helped them out, but they didn't need to help them out because the people were so positively greeted. You get positive reinforcement by going to school when you're at that age, and it's a wonderful thing. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. But hearing can hurt. You know, I mean, hearing can hurt something terrible. I mean, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can break my heart. Words said to you. Harsh things said to you. I mean, how do you deal with it? How do you deal with somebody who tells you that you're ruining their lives? How do you deal with it? You know, sometimes you wish you could bifurcate. Go bifurcate yourself. You know, you could split yourself in half or something for the way you're talking to me. But how do you do it? How do you encode? Now, if you have a child and a child you love and the child loves you and the child says something to you that's mean, like, I hate you, you're the worst mommy that ever lived on the face of the earth, you know, as well as my respect to all mothers who bring up children for the enormous task it is in bringing up a child. But if you have a child who says, you're a bad mommy, you're a mean mommy, you're a no good mommy, how do you hear it with a loving ear? How do you hear it if you say to your child, I want you to sit home and do your school, and the child says to you, I hate you? Imagine when your child, did you have every child look at you and say, I hate you? Your child looks at you and says, I hate you. What happens in your mind? Do you break down? I mean, if your husband said, I hate you, if your boyfriend said, I hate you, that's different meaning, right? Your child says, I hate you. You've developed a thing in your ear that can hear it and can hear the frustration of the child and separate yourself from the child. Yet when the person who you love and who loves you says the same thing to you, your pure ear can't handle it. And the older you get, the more difficult it is. Well, I think part of the reason that we get hard of hearing as we get older is because we don't want to hear as many harsh stuff. We just want to get, you know, let's relax. What I've noticed with people who have very active brains, the hearing is as sharp as ever, and the hearing is very sensitive to loud sounds, things that hurt. Whereas if you get older and you get sloppy with your hearing, and you let your hearing go, you just kind of walk around in this dull-sounding world. You know, eh? What'd you say? Eh? Now, it's not to make fun of people with hearing problems. What I'm saying, though, is your hearing leaving you is not a natural part. You can retrain yourself. You can get yourself back. And I strongly recommend you do it. Do some research on it. Find out. Posit science. Those people, I know they're doing some good work with it. But check it out, and if you need to learn more about it, you could always check with me. This is Armand DeMille with you. When we come back, I'm going to take some of your phone calls about things related to hearing and listening. I would like to hear something. Yeah, I'd like to hear. Liking to hear. Boy, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hey, when we come back, we're going to take a short break, and then I'll be back with you for your phone calls. Be back soon. whom? Armand DeMille here with you with The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. So here's a demonstration of bifurcation and how you can make it work. By not putting in an opposing sound with my voice, you can hear my voice. If I move my voice at the rhythm of the music, then you could be with me. If I could bring my voice to join the violins, you could hear it. So all you have to do is pay attention to what you're offering someone. When you offer them your voice, what are you offering them, you know? You're offering them something that looks good, something that looks mean, you know? Any harmony will be greeted by anyone. They love harmonies. And I bet you want to hear a piece of this, just a tiny bit, all by itself. Here you are. Telephone number here is 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. We haven't taken your calls in a few weeks, and it's time to take your calls because, part of is a whole group of people who say, I love it when you take calls, and there's a whole group of people who say, I can't stand it when you take calls. And there's a whole group of people who say, I can't stand your music, and another group of people who say, I love your music. You know, my choice of music, as you can see by now, is always something related to the program in some way, as best I could do. This is Armand DeMille with you, 212-209-2900. We're taking your calls, hopefully, related to hearing as a child, hearing what you've heard, what you hear now, something about the physical hearing if you want, but if not, we could skip all over the place, because I've got time, and I've got you, and you've got me. And what are we doing on Tuesday? Tuesday we're doing something important with Kent Robert Shore, aren't we? What is that one? Inheritance. Oh, Tuesday. Be sure to tune in. What's it like when you're born with a silver spoon in your mouth? And what's it like when somebody dies and you fight over the hat that the person had in the closet? Inheritance, this whole issue. Well, Kent Robert Shore, the psychiatrist that we work with here, has a lot of experiences in working with families who deal with these enormous things that take place around the time of someone's death. Inheritance. And there's a guy I know, I'll repeat the story, who, and I met him for the first time as the son of a wealthy man. I said, so how do you spend your day? He said, waiting for my father to die. Imagine. Imagine. I said, so what happens when your father gets a cold? He says, I get excited. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. I'm with you with The Positive Mind. Hi there. You're on the air.
I got you, babe.
Hi there.
Hey, it's Rashida. Peace and love.
Rashida, peace and love. How are you?
I am blessed and highly favored, as you are, my dear, as I always thank you for the contribution that you are making in this world, on this life journey. Don't second guess it, because I don't. Okay, now with the hearing, I noticed a couple years ago, like I'd be in a store and someone would kind of brush past me. I said, you know, you could have said, excuse me. And they say, I did. I'm like, I didn't hear that. So, you know, and I just noticed that I was looking more at people's mouths when they would speak. So I went to get my ears checked, and they said, there's absolutely nothing wrong with your physical ear canal. Now, we're going to have you come back and do more extensive tests. I didn't get that done, but I will. And because I came to the conclusion, as you just mentioned, which you always hit things right on point for me, that maybe I don't want to hear stuff.
It might be selective, and you know, it might be, here again we have this thing, you get bumped, and somebody says, excuse me, you don't hear the excuse me because you're dealing with the bump. But if you were a kid and you got bumped and somebody said, excuse me, you might hear it and feel it at the same time. As we get older, Rashida, there's a tendency to try to go to one spot only.
Mm-hmm.
See, just we want to go to one safe spot. So you make it makes sense that that's what your selective ear would do. Did they remove the earwax?
I've had that done prior to going. At that time, there wasn't an accumulation to be removed.
In prior times, has it been fun to have it removed?
They do it so quickly, it's almost like a vacuum.
It's
they
amazing.
They put this water in and the wax flies out. I had it done one time like years ago. But and it's amazing to me because sometimes things are said really, really low and I really hear it.
Right. Suddenly when you have your ears cleaned, as if there is something we need to do, you know, ear maintenance. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not enough. We got to maintain everything else. Keep them ears clean.
But I think if you, even with your finger, because even Q-tips, you got to be really careful of damaging, you know, the ear canal. But, you know, there's wax that will accumulate. If you just take a tissue, you can get out. But really deep down inside.
For that, you need the Coke bottle.
Yeah, no, you do. And they said that they said everything is fine. I was like, wow, but everybody. And it gets annoying to me, Armand, like if someone says something and I know that I really didn't hear what they just said, I won't ask them to repeat it because it seemed like people will get annoyed with.
Yeah, so Rashida, that's what it's suggesting, that your ear is getting more selective. And the thing you don't want to do is you don't want to be one of those people, like the people in, where was it in Florida that I was? Oh, I'll never forget. It's in Fort Lauderdale. I was in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and I went to visit some people who lived in one of these five-building condos. You know, there were five buildings, and they had a pool in the middle.
The gated community.
Gated community. Mm-hmm. Much older people, right? Most people were about 70 or 80. And they had a big sign on the wall. No children running.
Wow.
And, of course, this is a very important thing. Why can't there be children running?
Mm-hmm.
Because as you get older, you get annoyed by the sound of the children running when you're trying to do something else. So what they did was they eliminated children and dogs and things of noise so that they could get more comfortable in their old age. Well, I don't want us to get comfortable.
Right. I love
you know,
dogs barking. Yeah.
That's why you got to keep listening to the Rashida and the Positive Mind. I like those two together, you know, Rashida
and the Positive
Mind. I like that
too because that's what I live in, that positive mind state. You have to.
I hear that about
see
you.
See the blessing and know that the pit is always a bigger picture.
It's always
maybe
a
one day
picture.
You'll use that as a topic.
If you get annoyed, that is a topic we'll do.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger picture. Let's write that down. I'll ask my engineer here to make a note of that. The bigger picture.
Yep.
Good idea. Michael, thanks, Rashida.
Michael the Angel. Angel, the Archangel Michael. Okay, peace and blessings to you. Continue the contribution we all receive as we give, and I thank you so much, Armand.
Sure. 212-209-2900. Speaking about Michael, Maxwell Michael Jessen, one day old today. That's right, born on the 19th. Today he's a day old. We're watching him closely. He's a son of a friend of mine, just baby born, 11-pounder. Coming out there saying, I'm ready. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, hi. Yeah, my hearing just went out at the beginning of August, and I had been upstate, and I had been playing a song on the organ. I hardly ever get a chance to play on this little keyboard, and at the same time, this teenager was practicing on his electric guitar, and at the same time I was sleeping with my ear to a fan, and I came back home and I lifted up the phone and I couldn't hear anything in the right ear. I thought the phone was out, and after a couple of hours I tried to call it with the left ear and it was fine. And So I've been dealing with that ever since, and it turns out that my hearing is really not there in my right ear anymore. And all I can hear is ringing, which I could have been hearing for about a year, and this roar, and it's very loud. And then after that, a couple of weeks, my phone went out. It was out for 3 weeks. So it's been very, very weird.
Yeah, and well, what's the adjustment like? What's the difference like?
The difference is that I can differentially decide in a way if I want to try to really listen to what's being said. In a way, I hear what you were saying about where people say, "Huh? What'd you say?" all the time.
Right.
Like that. It's just it was very quiet while I didn't have any phone, and I was kind of listening to myself more and to my thoughts more, and I keep the radio off more now because there's so much going on in my ear anyway.
All right, so good. I understand, and thank you, and I'm sure you're working with people to try to see whatever medical things you could do to help correct that, right?
Acupuncture.
Yeah.
That sort of helps a little bit, but I'm interested in that program that you were talking about where you were saying that you can get improve your hearing through your brain or something?
No, it's improve your brain through your hearing.
Well, that's even
you know,
better.
And I don't know if with the dysfunction you have it would challenge it, but you could call them and ask them about it.
Uh-huh.
It's called the Posit Science.
PositScience.com.
Put it up.
Okay.
Throw it in your computer and see what comes up, and then speak to them and tell them you spoke to Armand DeMille at the Positive Mind.
Do they have a number with that? Would you know?
I don't have the number handy, but if you have a computer, just press it in and you'll find it.
Oh, PositScience.com. Thank you.
Not the just plain Posit Science. Thank you for calling in 212-209-2900. You know, it's kind of an interesting thing because one of the great lessons in life that every human could use is to go silent for a day. Not talk for a day. See what it's like to just shut your mouth. You know? And not say a word. Imagine if everybody did that for a day. Imagine if there was a day of silence. Imagine if we said, you know what we're going to do to protest this war? We are going to all be silent. And he carried a card that said, I'm being silent as a protest to the war. And that everybody who thought that we should not be engaged in this war was silent for that day. Well, not the air traffic controllers and other people like that, but I mean, people where it's not essential. You know, imagine if we had a world where silence became the way you protested. Well, that's what, of course, most people did when they were oppressed. When you're a slave and you're brought over and you're forced to work on a plantation, how do you think you get through? Silence. You don't say a word. But what happens when you're silent is you hear everything. You hear so much more. So let me recommend to all of you that you spend your time in silence, some time in silence. Take a day, spend an entire day, 24 hours, try not to leave out any time, and watch what happens when you're silent. Because the biggest noise we often have is our own voice. 212-209-2900, this is Armand DeMille. Let me take another caller. Hi there, on the air. Hello there.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, it's Kathleen.
Hello, Kathleen.
I just want to say I love you.
Thank you, Kathleen. I can hear that really well.
Good. kind of a segue into what you were just saying about silence. I once heard someone say that we have two ears and one mouth because we should listen twice as much as we speak.
Good idea. I like that.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to hang up.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
So tell me something. Which of your parents do you wish would have talked half as much?
My mother.
She did talk a little too much, didn't she?
Yep.
And it was hurtful, wasn't it?
At times, yes.
She was mean.
At times.
Yeah. And is she still around or is she gone?
No, she's here. In fact, I'm on my way to the hospital to see her.
Yeah, so she's on her way out. Is there something wrong with her?
No. She's not on her way out. She had a procedure, and she had a little bit of complication, but I think she's going to be around for another 20, 25 years.
Uh-huh. I hear. And, you know, one of the things you hear when you see now there's one of the things you pick up. Why do you pick up certain idioms or expressions or axioms? Why do we pick them up? So there you are with one of your favorite ones. You know, people have one mouth and two ears because they should speak half as much. And because somewhere in your early childhood there's this big wound which relates to somebody talking a little too much
yeah.
to you. You know?
Well, there was a lot of arguing in my family. My parents eventually got divorced. And,
so how,
you know,
did
my mother,
how did you tune it out as a kid?
I used to read a lot. I had a little alcove in our basement that I could go to and do artwork and read and
block it. Didn't you wish you could just block your ears completely?
Absolutely.
Especially when they scream at each other.
Yep.
It's a horrible thing. So you had an alcove. And then you had this other thing which you were able to do, which is to read and selectively choose your attention. You see?
Right.
And you had that ability as a child. You don't have that ability as you get older. You can't, if you're listening to something that's really horrible, focus on something you're reading and not have it invade you anymore because of the old bifurcation.
Right.
Because your ears won't allow you to separate that way. So what you've done, what you had as a child, is something you no longer have. But what you do have now is the ability to say, you know, I wish you wouldn't say that stuff. You
and
know?
I do say that to people. When there's something that I don't want to hear, I stand up for myself and I say, you know, it's really not okay for you to say that to me.
Good. Good, good, good. I can't tell you the number of uncomfortable taxi rides I've had where I'm in a hurry to go from one place to another. I jump in a taxi and the driver is talking in some racial way. You know, and he's talking about some race or he's talking about it, and he says, oh, and you know, I stop the cab. I say, let me out of here. Let me out.
Yeah.
I pay him for his fare, no tip, and I say, I will not be in a taxi where somebody talks like that.
Good for you.
And I do it because, and it, of course it's very uncomfortable to me to do it at times, but I do it because arguing with him would do nothing. It would just kind of reinforce it. I want to do something that's shocking, and my shocking thing is, stop this cab, let me out. You can't
right.
talk that way about people in front of me.
That reminds me of something that my mother used to tell us as kids. She said, don't ever argue with a crazy person. Because if somebody walks by and doesn't know either one of you, they won't be able to tell which one's crazy.
Weegee, your mother should have learned that lesson herself.
I know.
Right? Well, which one was crazy, your mother or your father? Were they both crazy, right?
They were both, you know. I mean, hey, normal is a setting on the dryer, right?
I got you. Nice. You're filled with these. You're filled with these. It's the only way you could have grown up, right? She's got. You must have a whole bunch of them. Rules to live by.
Yeah.
You got to write them all down and then send them to me. Send
I
them
will.
To. I want everybody's favorite saying. Whatever your favorite saying is, send it to me. I love it. I have one in the bottom of my website. Not the bit of my website. Every email I send out, you know, I have a quote. You know, that is my favorite quote. Everybody can find out. If you send me an email, I'll send you one back.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks for calling in.
All right. Thanks. I love you too. Again.
Again, two. 212-209-2900. What lovely people. So, you know, part of being radio, of course, is listening. You know, I mean, that's what radio is all about. Your ears. The health of your ears. How much of me can you hear? How much can you do, you know? And my listening, too. I'm listening to myself talk. One day I was driving in a car. And I'm driving, and I'm driving by, and there's a truck next to me, passing me. And it was a day that I was out of town. I was all the way out in Long Island, and I couldn't come in and do the radio show. So I had decided that I would play a program that I had pre-recorded. It was a new program, but I had pre-recorded it that day, so I sent it down to the studio, and Michael G. Haskins had the timing set, and he put it on as a program that was there as if I was in the studio. Meanwhile, I'm driving in my car, and there's a truck next to me, and I recognize the voice coming out of that truck. And I said, I know that voice. Whose voice is it? I did not recognize that it was my voice, because I never heard my voice coming out of a truck. So there it was coming out of this truck radio, and the guy was listening, and I listened, and it was me. because it was the recording that I was playing it. There it was. What a strange experience that is, let me tell you. I was going to yell over to the guy, but then I thought, poor driver, what would he do? He hears the voice outside and the voice over there, and I was afraid I might cause an accident. 212-209-2900. One more call we got time for. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi, Armand. How are you?
Good.
Oh, I would have been terribly disappointed if I didn't get to talk to you today.
Hey,
that's
so
great.
Congratulations. Great.
Thank you. I also wanted to call and say thank you. I had a consultation with you several months ago, and my life has done a complete 180. And
oh,
anyone
man.
Out,
that's
anyone
so
out
nice.
There,
what's your first name?
Jim.
Jim.
You hurt your hand, and I was the big guy and didn't want to hurt your hand.
Right. Hello, Jim. Sure. From out in Long Island somewhere.
That's correct, yeah.
Hey, Jim. Good. So yes, you came in to see me, and I sent you somewhere, and it all worked out for you?
It's going wonderfully, and I'm having emotions and wonderful things like that, and I've reconnected with my wife and children and starting to reconnect with my family, and anyone out there who thinks that it can't work for them, I was one of those people, and I'm telling you it can work, and it does work.
Wow.
It takes a lot of effort, and, you know, it's not easy, but I think if you take the time, and especially, hey, you know, if you can't afford it or whatever, I'm not a guy who has a lot of money, but I waited until BAI had the fundraiser, and I got in there, and I did it. And
that's right. You came in through the fundraiser. So through WBAI, through our giving the time to WBAI, you were able to get a discounted fee to get in to see me. And as a result of that, it was just the right timing. You took care of yourself. Oh, it does me so much good to hear you, Jim. I actually did ask about you just the other day. I was following up on you to make sure that everything was going well with you, which I tend to do. So thank you.
No, thank you very much.
Sure. This is Armand.
I love you, Armand. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, my friend. Absolutely. But, you know, another part of it which he didn't say is that a part of that thing that went on was the work that I sent him to work with Stephanie Dombra out there in Long Island. And she was a real blessing. So I ran across this recently. My friends, this is Armand DeMille. I'm going to be back with you on Tuesday at 1 p.m. Be sure to tune in. And this is what I used to listen to all the time when I was a kid. My neighbor, Bill Barron, used to practice this very song. And he was my next-door neighbor. I was 17 years old, and there he was, Bill Barron, playing tenor saxophone. And this is his piece. The very piece that I used to hear. Time Out was the name. And he's playing with Booker Irvin, by the way.